Amen. Psalm 34, and I'm gonna move through this fairly quickly tonight. I plan on having a little more time, but I'm not upset about. I'm thankful for what I feel. I'm thankful for what I feel. I'm so thankful for what I feel. I tell you what, just keep your Bibles open to Psalm 34, and I'm going to dive into this, and we're going to read a little bit as we go here, but let's pray one more time, ask the Lord to help us as we dive into the Word. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your Word. We thank you for the power of your Word. We thank you for what we feel right now. We praise you for all you've done. I pray help each and every one in this house. Speak to us tonight, God. Not only that, but Lord, equip us, I pray, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Psalm 34 is a psalm that speaks to what we're talking about here tonight in such a way. And we're going to, let me just be honest with you, it's in my spirit tonight because I have found myself, and I thought the whole way back from my little, I had to take a quick trip. I thought the whole way back, I thought, man, I kind of began to look and think, what am I focusing on? And am I focusing on the right things? Because the reality is, I'll tell you this real fast, and I'm going to be very, very transparent. Ministry is not easy. And I'm not talking about just pastoral ministry. I'm talking about just ministry. It's not easy. You can find yourself burnt out quickly. You can find yourself looking at the wrong things. You can find yourself, there's moments where you don't see clearly. Sometimes it's good to go out and drive by De Grey and think about how pretty of a place we live in, because sometimes when you drive in the wrong areas, you're thinking, man, I wish people would use a weed eater. You know what I'm saying? I wish somebody would pick up the trash that the dog ate 4 months ago and it's still there. Sometimes it's good to go look and say, you know what? This is, we are in a beautiful place. And same thing is, I can get used to looking at all the stuff and miss out on the miracle of the moment that we are living in right now. And so I believe that, and I want to challenge you to do the same thing. But Psalms 34, it's filled with praise and adoration. Even the note, as I look over here, the happiness of those who trust in God is the note in my Bible at the top. But we find here the psalmist has given us some understanding, and I want to talk to you just for a few moments, and thank you, April, for helping me out tonight. But I want to talk to you about, I'm going to run through them quickly here. There's 10 things I just want to talk to you, and these are just some reasons why we praise. Some reasons why we praise. The first thing I want you to understand, and we'll read in just a moment, but we praise as a response to God's deliverance. We praise as a response to God's deliverance. And here we have Psalm 34 and 1. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall what? Continually be in my mouth. That's not meaning you close your mouth and grit your teeth and say it's going to stay in my mouth. I know you know that. I just want to make sure we all do. That means that I am continually speaking praises of my God, continually telling about it, continually speaking it, and let people know. David proclaims, I'll bless the Lord at all times. The praise, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. This praise flows naturally from a heart that recognizes and acknowledges God's deliverance and goodness in our lives. And that's where we should start our day. We should start our day by looking around and I know it's not always easy, because it's not always easy to wake up for some, I know. But it's not always easy to get up in a good mood. But I tell you what, when you wake up and you start with praise, your day will change. Your day will change in a hurry, and you will begin to understand that there is something to praise God about. And you shift the understanding of what you have, and so you've taken off the view that maybe is a lens of negativity and the lens of everything's bad, and you slide over this other look, and now you're looking through a lens of, he's good to me. Even though it's not easy right now, he's good to me. And so we praise as a response to God's deliverance. Verse 2 says, so my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. The second thing I want you to understand is we praise as an act of worship. We praise as an act of worship. Praise and worship are
two different things, but yet they are also tied together. So we praise as an act of worship, especially with our understanding of what we're living right now. We praise as an act of worship. Verse 3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." Verse 3 encourages us to magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt together. Praising God is an act of worship where we lift his name high, recognizing the sovereignty of our Lord and his majesty. And let me just stop and tell you, and I didn't think about this until just now, but David is speaking here, and imagine with me, rather than just writing it, I can't help but maybe think that he was telling somebody in the song of the psalm, "I'm going to praise him, so you might as well magnify the Lord with me." There's nothing wrong, and I'm going to take it a little old school just for a moment, because that's really what I love, but there's nothing wrong with looking at somebody and say, "Would you magnify the Lord with me for a moment?" There's nothing wrong with that. What do I do when I magnify the Lord? When you magnify the Lord, you do the same thing that Mark and I used to do in the back in the front yard. When we wanted to start a fire on Dad's grass that he worked so hard to plant and grow, you take the magnifying glass and you magnify something and you place it and you now allow something to be focused in on that. The problem that we often have is we magnify the wrong things. But David said, don't magnify your problems. Don't magnify your struggles. Magnify the Lord with me. Magnify him with me. And let us, when you magnify him, you're going to realize you should exalt his name together. And verse 3 gives us that understanding. The third thing, because I've got to move quickly, is we praise as a source of joy. There's some people that drive me crazy because they're always in a good mood. But when I look at something, I notice something, that those people that are always in a good mood are always people that are quick to give out their praise. They're quick to tell not just the Lord, but "You look nice today. I appreciate what you did. I thank you for how you helped me out. Thank you for not leaving me by myself to clean all this up by myself. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for being nice." People that give out praise oftentimes live a joyful life. But someone who never has anything good to say to anybody, you can look at the wrinkles. You already know what I'm going to say. I'll leave it alone. It'll tell you right then and quick and in a hurry. Little practice. Is this okay? We can look at what's wrong, or we can praise for what's right. And I've got good news for you, though. I got good news. When you praise for what's right, even if there's an inkling of it, when a dog trainer would come and train a dog, they've got a little treat usually in their pocket if they're doing it right, and they'll tell that dog, you know, if maybe someone's riding a bike and they don't want that dog to chase them all the way to the end of the world, they'll tell them to sit. If they move, if they run, they got to pull them back and say, "Okay, good job," and they'll tell them to sit there. Now, when they get up again, they'll say, "No, come back and sit." But the moment they don't take off running, they'll pull out a treat and they'll toss it out there and they'll praise them. And guess what? Then the praise begins to get tied in the mind and it places them there. And I'm not trying to say we're all dogs, so don't misunderstand me here, but behaviors behave here, everybody. Because I mean, there was a time when Mom would give me some fruit roll-ups for cleaning my room or something like that, and that's probably where we got all the situation going on. But it's no different. You sometimes on your birthday you get to get lobster. It's because we're going to celebrate you and praise you. But let me tell you right now, when you praise for certain things, you now generate behavior that is not always normally there. So let me tell you right now, Mom and Dad, sometimes you should praise your kids even when it's not been great. Tell them what they've done that's been good. Sometimes you should praise somebody else and say, you know what? Even though the grass is tall, you should say, "Hey, thank you for mowing the lawn." And guess what? You're going to put such a praise in their spirit, they're going to get out on the lawnmower and probably go mow the yard finally. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but that's true. I'll tell you that. I've experienced it myself. She's not in here, thank the Lord. Let me tell you right now,
We praise as a declaration of God's goodness. This poor man in verse 6 cried out. And the Bible says, let me see here. I got ahead of myself. Actually, let me go back. Verse 4. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. Verse 5 gives us an understanding that those who look to him are radiant. They have a joy. That's what we're talking about. Their faces shall never be ashamed. Praise brings a joy and a radiance. Praise brings, let me tell you right now, if you have joy in your life, people can see it from a mile away. But if you have no joy, they can see that as well. It's evident. It's there. There's no radiance is what David would say it would be because it shifts our focus, though. It's not because those people don't have bad days. It's not because things aren't bad in their life or they're not dealing with something. It's simply this. It's because they've shifted their focus from what is bad to what is God. God is able. And they look and they say that God is able. He's a great God and he's above my circumstances. And so we have to understand that. We have to know that there's a joy that we have. Now we move forward to we praise as a declaration of God's goodness. This poor man in verse 6 cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Those who trust in him oftentimes have no problem praising him. Those who praise him have no problem trusting him. So verse 8 declares this. Praising God allows us to proclaim his goodness and faithfulness both to ourselves and to those who are around us. It allows us to be people that share the goodness of God. We praise him because of all he's done in our lives. Moving quickly here, we praise as a weapon against fear. Going back to verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me. Scripture says, and delivered me from all my fears. It recounts how David sought the Lord and he answered. And let me just say to you real fast, David does something very unique in this. And it challenges me because sometimes I want to get a little of the credit that belongs to the Lord. Sometimes I don't be like, the Lord's done a good thing, but also we made it work. You know, we did this and did that, and the Lord's, okay, there's no praise to him if there's any credit to me. David takes no credit. David does not even give him an inkling of credit. David never says, but I hung in there when things were bad and praised. No, he just says, I praise and you should praise and he made a way. David seeks no credit, but he only gives praise continually. And praise is a powerful tool to combat fear and a big word in our modern day, anxiety. The reality is everybody in this room at some point, you are either dealing or going to deal with some anxiety. Let me tell you how you deal with it. I know that's not the only fix for everybody out there. Psalm 139, David says, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. He says, pretty much go in and see if there's any wicked thing in me. Another version of that, a translation, is know if there's any anxieties. What he was saying was go in and search. Go in and do all you can to search in every crevice of my soul or my spirit so that you can know. And he says simply this, and lead me to the way everlasting. What he's saying is give me the ability to go to a place where I continually praise. And how do you deal with anxieties? You give him access to get in. But your access is going to come when you praise him. And your praise may not always look like, oh, this. Sometimes the only praise you can give is simply you're tired, you're weary, you're worn out. But you just say, all I've got right now is just this. I'm just going to tell you that you are good. You're good. You're good. I can't shout right now. That's okay. I can't run right now. That's okay. I can't sing. I'll bless the Lord. That's okay. But sometimes just simply this, Lord, you're still merciful. And Lord, you're still good. He inhabits the praises of his people. We praise
as a path to this very important word, humility. Going back to verse 2, so my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. It acknowledges something very critical, this idea of being humble. That's kind of tacked on to what I mentioned a moment ago, that I can have no credit. Praise humbles us as we recognize that every good thing comes from God and not from our own efforts. Let me tell you right now, the biggest hindrance to praise is pride. Tell you right now, it's the biggest hindrance to praise. But when you realize you've got nothing without Him, I've got no health, I've got no life, I've got no good, I've got nothing, I've got nothing. I'm coming to a close quickly here, but we've got to know right now that I've got to walk in this humbly. We praise as a call to community. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I got ahead of this a moment ago, but it gives us the understanding that we should be people of praise that worship and are encouraging to each other, that reach out and love each other, that you oftentimes, the things that God's done in your life can be something that does a work or a change in somebody else's life as well when we begin to praise. We praise also as a gateway to prayer. As a poor man cried out, and the Lord, in verse 6, heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Gives us this understanding that praise opens the door to prayer as it brings in this intimacy with God and strengthens our faith in His ability to answer. Let me tell you this. When I begin to take these, I begin to pray over these, but I now take the red ones that are testimonies. When I take all this and I say, you know what? Guess what it does? It gets me excited. And it gives me boldness to know and go and say, you know what? I can pray for this. I don't know who this is, and I'm not going to, there's no name, so it's good. Pray for my sisters and my mother, also my family members. I can say, you know what, God? You made a way on this one over here. You can do it there. Jesus, and I can go on, but I'm not going to, because of time, I can go on, but it gives me the boldness to pray prayers, knowing that He's a prayer answering God. And so it's something good about us joining together. And lastly, we praise as a lifestyle. I say lastly, there's one more, but we praise as a lifestyle. It goes in the very beginning, the beginning of his thought. This is his thesis for the thought. I will bless the Lord at all times. That's the whole umbrella of what he says now. He says, just let me get this out straight real fast. This is not the beginning of that sentence. That is the statement for the whole thing. If you want to take it and bring it back down to one, I will bless the Lord at all times. And then he goes on. His praise goes back to all times. What does all times mean? It means all times. It's all of it. All times. And lastly, this is the last one. This is just me making a statement out of Psalm 34 that's very important for us to understand. We must be people of praise. We're not, let me tell you right now, we're not good enough just being people of doctrine. We're not good enough just being people of holiness. That's not speaking against anything. I'm just telling you right now, though. If you've got that, but you've got no praise, then you don't have all of it. You don't have all of it. I've got to be people of the Word, people of all of it. And guess what? A big part that I find, I've got to be people of praise. Just a little practical thing I want you to understand. You should set aside dedicated times every day for prayer. But in that prayer, you should walk through a time of praise. You should reflect daily on God's goodness and faithfulness in your life. These are some things I want you to understand right now. You can go in and find scriptures and seek out the Word of God. You can go in and maybe ask a friend, you know, what's your favorite? I know this sounds crazy, but here's the good news.
Somebody needs to hear this. You can go ask, what's your favorite scripture on praise? What's your favorite story that I can think about and read about on praise? Well, I can go through and find it. David took six steps and then he'd stop and he wanted to praise. Here's what I want you to understand too. We must be people of praise, and the way we get there is we practice gratitude by thanking God for both big and small blessings. We also must be people of praise by practicing praise of others. If you do not ever give praise to anybody else, and what I mean by not worship, I don't worship others, but I can give praise to others. I'll tell my wife tonight on the way home, I'll say, babe, you knocked out that plan. I'm so proud. I really will. I'm so proud of her and the team that we have that put it together. And there's many others, not just my wife, that came in and made it all work and set it all up. And this has been a very, very enjoyable, peaceful night. But thank you. And I give praise tonight to these wonderful group of people that got here early and packed meals up and helped with the plan. And they were not just that, but they were willing to say, okay, we'll go with it. That sounds good. You understand something with me? There is a spiritual connotation. When I look at people of God and say, what you did for the kingdom, for the body tonight was wonderful, there is something that I believe the Lord also steps in and he blesses when I begin to say thank you for your time and effort and energy and willingness to do something beyond just your comfort level. But not just that. I thank the Lord, and I'm a little over time, but I thank the Lord for bringing us kids. I thank the Lord for bringing us people that are driving buses. They're picking them up and getting them in the bus right now to head home. I thank the Lord for safety. I thank the Lord for provision. I thank the Lord that we have a van. I thank the Lord that God bless Sister Lisa with another van to help us out. I thank the Lord that he's going to help us out with more. I thank the Lord that he's going to help us with the playground. I thank the Lord that he's going to help us get that bought. I thank the Lord that we're going to put a new sanctuary and everything we need with all that we got. I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for everything we've had, and I thank the Lord for everything we're going to have. I thank him. I thank him. I thank him. I thank the Lord for the vision Brother Collins had years ago. I thank the Lord for the prayers that were prayed down the fellowship hall when we first came in here. I thank the Lord for the Rock Church. I thank the Lord for the baptism that I had in the basement of the Rock Church. I thank the Lord for when the trusses came down, the trusses went back up, and we made a way because God made a way. I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord when we flipped the switch, the lights came on. I thank the Lord that when we put the key turned. I can go on forever. I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for Nelson. I thank the Lord for Kathy. I thank the Lord for Brittany. I thank the Lord for Brenda Moss. I thank the Lord. I can go on and on and on. There's no time limit, and there's no restraints on thanking God for all he's done in our lives. Now, girls, I'm not always this excited, but some days I'm really excited. But here, let me tell you right now, we ought to have a culture of praise that sweeps in this place. And I'm telling you right now, you begin to look at things with a critical eye and you become like those in the Bible. I won't give you a name, but you'll find them in the Gospels. But you walk giving praise and you'll find that the Lord's going to step into a situation that you can't yet understand. But when you praise, he's going to show up and he's going to make it make sense and he's going to write whatever wrong, and he's going to mend whatever might be broken, and he's going to give truth. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I feel it so strongly right now that a culture of praise. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Come on, we're gonna close in just a moment, but just for a moment, can you take something to the Lord and say, Lord, I thank you and I praise you for all you've done. I thank you for your goodness and I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your power. I thank you for your mercy and strength, God. I thank you for all you've done. I thank you for answering prayers. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.